all the honor and the glory for what he's doing in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Got a great message that the Lord has placed in my heart to share today. We're going to talk about this for a while. Hope it's okay. Great. Great word. Great word. So, praise God. As you can see, we're going to talk about becoming kingdom-minded. Been in my spirit for a few weeks. Been waking up. I started waking up in the morning and praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." It just kept just coming up in my spirit, and I began to pray it in the morning. So, Lord, release me to begin to talk about this. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word with these, your people today. I thank you that revelation knowledge is flowing freely, unhindered and unrestricted by satanic forces or demonic hindrances, Father God. Think through my mind, speak through my vocal cords, minister to the needs of these, your people today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. So becoming kingdom-minded, becoming kingdom-minded. It is important. In Psalms 103:19, it says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom reigns over all." Hallelujah. So we're going to get in here and talk about becoming kingdom-minded. We're going to have foundational information first, and we're going to go to section one, which is Jesus preached the kingdom. Section two is going to be the kingdom comes with healing and deliverance. Very important. And section three, we can get there. We're going to talk about Jesus is the king of God's kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Got my timer set. Let's go. So let's go into section one. Get right into section one, or let's get into the foundational information. And I have on the screen where it says, without a kingdom mindset, you will find yourself stuck in a cycle of problems, feeling like a victim instead of moving forward from victory to victory. We're supposed to move forward. We go from victory to victory, go from faith to faith, glory to glory. So we're supposed to be having victories in our life. So this teaching will help you build mentally and spiritual strength, mental and spiritual strength to hold firm to your faith in Jesus. Our salvation is about our faith. It's all predicated on our faith in what Jesus has done for us and who we are now. So it's going to help you grow spiritually and hold firm to your faith in Jesus, which brings a great reward. This reward is a restitution. See, there's restitution. It is owed to you for the wrongs that the devil has caused you. A lot of people haven't heard that. I remember reading back years ago in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 18. So I was reading that parable of the persistent widow. The Lord spoke to me these words, spiritual legalities. So I had been on a quest to get an understanding of why he said spiritual legalities. I preached once before and taught some things about it, but now we're going to go further into some of those spiritual legalities, which is based on the kingdom of God. So in Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 10, it reads, "After this manner, therefore, pray." It says, "Pray ye, our Father." Jesus is telling us how to pray. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven." It says, "in earth as it is in heaven." So now, based on what Jesus said, how are we to pray? We are to pray, our Father. We're to pray. See, God is our Father. Amen. As I've shared before, that, you know, there is a shift in one's mind and understanding from a religious mindset to a relationship mindset. So he introduced relationship. And in this relationship, we're born of the kingdom of God. We're members of the kingdom of God. So we're to be praying for the kingdom of God to come. The next thing we're supposed to pray is that his will be done. Look what it says in the easy to read version. It says in verse 10, it says that what you want will be done on the earth, the same as in heaven. So we're to pray what God wants done on the earth. Man, wondering why prayers aren't getting answered. Is your heart for God to get his will done in the earth. So when it comes to ministry, and I want to just throw this out here. People have asked me, you know, God gives you the desires of your heart. Brother Larry, what's your desires of the heart for the ministry? And I tell them, I have no desire for the ministry. I have no personal desire. Remember, I walked away from ministry. I walked away from all this stuff because I don't have any personal desires. So our personal, now get what I'm saying. When I'm going to teach on the kingdom, when it comes to doing God's will in the earth, it has nothing to do with our personal desires. Nevertheless, we do get personal benefits in this life. And he gives us our personal desires to enjoy the resources of the land. But God has a divine purpose and plan that he created us to fulfill. In other words, he doesn't want us to work for ourselves, but he wants us to work for him. He wants us to make a profit for him by expanding his kingdom in the earth. That's what the church is supposed to be doing, expanding the kingdom instead of trying to we won't even go there right now. All righty. Continuing on with the foundational information. Guys, the devil is the source of all sin. You understand? The devil is the source of all sin. The devil is the source of all sin, sickness, disease, heartache and pain, and shame in life. So anything you're going through in life that is not giving you the abundant life in Christ Jesus as a believer, the source of it is the devil. Even if it's something you don't know, the devil's working overtime to keep you from knowing it, because if you learn it, you're going to get breakthrough over him. Amen. Religion is designed to keep you from knowing the principles of the kingdom. Religion is designed to keep you from knowing the benefits of the kingdom, watch this, and how to apply your faith to get access to your benefits. In the natural, we get benefits. But you have to appropriate your benefits if you want to experience them in the natural. The same is true spiritually. We have spiritual benefits. We have a spiritual health care program. Glory to God. Man. Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of us. And it quickens this mortal flesh. So that's the healing power of Jesus by the Holy Spirit is already on the inside of us. What's the problem? People don't know how to get it out. You get it out through faith. But if you don't know how to operate in the principles of the kingdom of faith, it ain't gonna work. But most people reject the knowledge, or you listen to people say that that ain't of God, then struggle and be sick then. He promised us long life. Okay. Continue on. The devil, again, is the devil is the source of all sickness. Right? Heartache and pain. But salvation brings recompense. What is recompense? It is a reward given on the earth. You see, I have there Proverbs 11 and 31. I'll read it to you. You can make notes and look it up. It says, if the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, if, because they will, how much more of the ungodly and the sinner? See, recompense is in the earth. That's payback. Now, God doesn't want to hurt anyone. He doesn't want to hurt his precious people. But people got to decide, are you going to be a part of the kingdom of God? Or are you going to be the kingdom of the devil, of the darkness of this world? You cannot straddle the fence. 1 foot over into the kingdom of darkness, you are on the devil's territory. Just like football. When you go out of bounds with a tippy toe, it doesn't matter. You are out of bounds. Whistle the play is dead. Do you understand this? You cannot straddle the fence. You have to stay in the boundaries of the kingdom. The kingdom has boundaries, the boundaries of light. Praise God. So now, let's get into section one of becoming kingdom-minded. Section one, Jesus preached the kingdom. Jesus preached the kingdom. He didn't preach religious traditions of men. That was the whole, when he came, that's what, you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The religious leaders were the problem of his day. The people was hurting and full of pain and agony. They was in print, they was enslaved to Rome. Think about this. But Rome was so smart to give them their own hierarchy system to enslave themselves, talking about Israel, where if you got the higher-ups enslaving the people and using their own religion, it became a religion instead of having a relationship with God. They begin to religiousize it and of the Torah, and they begin to enslave the people, their own people. Hear, O Israel, you were one. You are one. You are all God's children. Isn't that? Look at Satan's strategy. He does it today to keep the church fighting each other instead of looking to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Yes. Arguing about our denominational opinions. Thinking you're more holier or you more right than the next man. The blood of Jesus washed us all. Your religious system should not take, it ain't going to take precedent of the kingdom. And when you get locked in and become kingdom-minded, that's when you begin to see things happen in your life. So look what it says in Matthew 4, 16 and 17. It says, the people who sat in darkness, look what it says there. People who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the regions of the shadow of death, light has dawned. That was Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. Those that want Jesus, that want to live right, come to the light. They come to Jesus. Verse 17 says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. That's change your mind. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You'll see the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God in the other gospel. They're one and the same. One just says heaven. The other one says God. But it's the kingdom message that brings transformation and change in people's lives, not religious systems, opinions, and trying to change people from a psychoanalytical approach, psychology, and trying to do things that is not scripturally. It's the word that changes. Let me show you this in the book of Al's read in the Amplified. In the Amplified, it says, and the people were sitting, look at this, living in spiritual darkness. Did you see that? Spiritual darkness. That's what I've been preaching. People don't understand the word spiritually. You're trying to comprehend it logically, but you understand the word spiritually from the inside, from your heart. That's what changes. Look what he says here. It says, they were in spiritual darkness, but they have seen a great light. For those who were sitting are living in the land of the shadows of the spiritual and moral death. Yeah. Spiritual and moral death. People don't even know. You got children that don't even know what bathroom to go to. And you got parents that's cooperating with it. Why? Because you're in spiritual death. That's called spiritual death. There's spirits behind that. Oh, let's get into what this is saying here. It says, spiritual and moral death, upon them a light was dawned. So the light got to come on. The light got to come on. He says, repent. Now look what he says here in repent. It says, change your inner self. Change your inner self. Your old way of thinking. What God says that my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. See, you're not thinking in line with what the word of God says. Change takes place when we get a mind for the kingdom of God. When we take on the purpose and the plan of God to expand his kingdom. All of our benefits and resources is in the kingdom of God. We know, or if you don't know, the kingdom of God is on the inside of us. A lot of people don't live from the inside because they're not taught to be conscious of the inside, the Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. A lot of people do a lot of things saying, oh, I believe in God, and God is good, and God's good to me, but you're living in sin. Or if God is on the inside of you, that God on the inside of you don't want to sin. God don't want to sin. So you're deceived. You just might not be saved. If you're comfortable living in sin, you ain't saved. You're not. It's just the truth, y'all. It's the truth. Well, God understands. As I told you, God understands you don't want change. You got to hate that. You got to eschew evil. You got to want to be free. And some people don't want to be free. But that's their choice. They can go to hell if they want to. So change the inner self, your old way of thinking. It says, regret past sins. I regret my past sins. I can't stand it. When the enemy tried to bring it back to my mind, I said, thank God I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank God that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And nothing you can do about it either, Mr. Devil. The blood has washed me from that. I am holy and I'm righteous before God. Why? Because I've received what Jesus has done for me. Through his death, burial, and the resurrection. God looks at me through what Jesus has accomplished, not what I've accomplished. Glory to God. You better get this. Amen. This is good teaching here, man. You want to be free, man? You got to get somewhere that's free. Connect with somebody that's free. I'm free from that mess. Look at this. You got to regret the past sins. Live your life in a way that proves repentance. Did you see that? Are you living a life that proves repentance? You still cussing and swearing. You still going to the nightclub. You still going to the funny bone to laugh at nasty, coarse jokes. Then you got the audacity to go to church. You ain't living a life of repentance. You're not living a life of change. Like I told people, you want to know what repentance looked like? It looked like me. Looked like me and my wife. We're not running up and down the highway on a motorcycle to go to a party to drink and smoke and act a fool. Instead, we go to a conference to learn about Jesus, to be better, to be fed better so we can be better. Huh? To feed on a higher plane so we can go to a higher level. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Men that's been doing this years ahead of us and learning wisdom and figuring out what we got to do to get where God wants us to be in life. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We didn't go on a play vacation. We went to worship the Lord. We went to learn him, bow down before him, and let him deal with our heart on some issues. Let's move on. So it says that change. Let me go back. Repent. Change yourself. Your old ways of thinking. Repent past sins. Regret past sins. Live your life in a way that proves repentance. Seek God's purpose for your life. God's purpose for your life. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So God's got a plan for our lives. Are you seeking God's plan? Are you still seeking your plan? See, when Jesus died for us, and he's asking us to die for him. Glory to God. Why? So he can use us in the earth to expand his kingdom.
Amen.
But you got to become kingdom-minded. Being saved has to be important to you. Living godly got to be the desire of your heart. Glory to God. I shared that with somebody the other day. Living godly got to be the desire of your heart. Uh-huh. Godliness ain't the desire of some people's heart. It's evident. Godliness ain't their desire. When godliness is your desire, you get in that word, man. You want the Holy Ghost to change you for real, so you can walk in the newness of life. So he goes on and says, "For the kingdom of God is what is at hand. It's available to you. It's available to you. You'll get access to it." Oh, this is going to be a good series here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Section 2. Let's get on to section 2. The kingdom comes, look at this, with healing and deliverance. This is your benefits. Sickness and disease, strongholds of the enemy in your life, problems that you struggle with, is a result of the iniquities that the devil shaped you with. We were born into sin and shaped by iniquity. So God has to deliver us from those things. We all have sin, or have sinned, or have been born with sin issues and sin conditions. Strongholds that need to be broken out of our lives. I had some strongholds in my life, man, but when he broke them out of my life, glory to God, I don't even think about doing that stuff no more. I have no desire. He takes desire of it. We was listening to the general tell us about this woman that was in jail that was in homosexuality. She liked women and stuff like that, but she began to listen to his teachings, and all of a sudden, you know, she was telling that bam, this God just took it out of her. She has no desire for women, and she's married and got a husband and just prosper. Why? Because when the power of God, the kingdom is preached, deliverance manifests. Deliverance takes place. So if you were going to church year after year still struggling with stuff, they might not be preaching the kingdom. They might not be preaching the truth. They may not believe in healing power and deliverance from things in your life. Matthew 4:23-24, it reads, "And when Jesus went about all Galilee, doing what? Teaching in the synagogues." That was the church of their day. Synagogues, the church. "Preaching the gospel." You see that? By the way, the word gospel means good news. Hallelujah. It means good news. Not somebody beating you up, yelling at you, bringing a bunch of bad news, telling you how bad things is in your life, and telling you how bad you are. You need to hear the good news that when you gave your life to Jesus, you give your life to Jesus, you are now wholly acceptable and above reproach in God's eyesight. And then you need to start acknowledging every good thing that is in you that is in Christ. Why? Because you're no longer alive. Christ is living through you. The old man is dead, man. You're living the new life of Christ on the inside of you. Now, if you're not being taught that, you are being robbed and stripped of the benefits of Jesus in your life. It is the truth, and I don't care how anybody feels about it. You are being cheated of your salvation. You shouldn't be struggling with stuff for year after year after year. Somebody ain't teaching you the truth. But Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. Look what it says. And healing. Well, healing been done away with. We'll be sick then. And healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. You going to say Jesus don't do that no more? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me some of the things that people say. Religious people, and you follow them. The Bible says that we have a more sure covenant. We got a better covenant. Well, how does our covenant be better if we got to be sick? Israel didn't have to be sick. The children of Israel didn't have to be sick. You trying to say God, Jesus' blood ain't good enough to heal us? It's a lie. It's a lie. Why? Because they don't believe it. And instead of admitting they don't believe it, because anything that is not of faith is sin, they're in pride. The pride of their intellect. They don't believe it, so they come up with something else. You just don't believe in the healing power of Jesus Christ. You heard what I said? They don't believe in the healing power of Jesus Christ. That's why ain't nobody getting healed under their ministries. I said it. You come in here, I'm going to lay hands on you. I bet you get healed. Because I believe in it. Amen. I believe in it. That's the difference. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. His fame. When we lay hands on the sick, it's about Jesus. It's not about us. It's proof that he is alive and well and still healing through his church, the body, through his hands. Lay hands on somebody for Jesus, and Jesus will heal them. So his fame will go out. And they brought him all the sick, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments. And those who were demon-possessed, look at that, epileptic. You struggle with epileptic. What? Maybe they don't believe in deliverance. Those are spirits that do that. Mm-hmm. Paralytics. Those paralyzed. I believe God to get somebody out there wheelchair paralyzed. They never walked before. You got to believe. You got to dare to believe that Jesus will do it. See, you know why people don't believe? It's because you are worried about how you going to look. I'm not the healer. You're not the healer. So how I look don't matter. My job is to believe that he is the healer, and he is. So when it's about you, you're afraid to preach something, because if it don't happen, this is your mind. If it don't happen, people are going to be looking at me like I'm a false prophet. No, you preach the word. It's the job. It's the word's job to perform. God performs his word when you believe the word. You just do your part. The natural part is lay hands on the sick. And Jesus said they will recover. I didn't say they will recover. Jesus did. Like I said earlier today, when I laid hands on the person in the hospital, it went backwards. Well, it's getting worse. No, they're all right. Jesus said they will, key word, recover. Recover. And they recovered. Just because it goes backwards, that's the devil trying to get you out of faith. The devil couldn't get me out of faith because I used that word. It says, no, they fine. See, I was the vessel of faith. I released my faith by laying hands to the point of contact. So the negative reverse problem, instead of being recovering, it got worse. The enemy was trying to get me to change my mouth. It was my faith. So an elder has to keep his faith in line with he will recover. I'm teaching good. Problem is you don't believe is what y'all problem is. And they brought to him. This is admitted. I was there. There were some things I'm telling you about. I didn't believe. I just had to admit to God. God, I'm struggling with this. I don't know. I don't believe. And then he helped me believe. And so he healed them. All right, continue on. The kingdom comes with healing and deliverance. Section two still. I said the kingdom comes with healing and deliverance. That's part of the kingdom. Look at Matthew 10, 1 through 4, it says, and when he had called his 12 to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits. People still got unclean spirits. Mm-hmm. They got to be cleansed of them unclean spirits, demons and devils that manifest and make you move emotionally to do filthy things. It starts in your thought life. Lust and perversion, filth. Where it come from? You start thinking about it, you know. To cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Dropping on down to Matthew 10, 5 and 8, it says, these 12, so he sent out 12 now. These are 12. He sent out 12 and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. That's the unbelievers, the ones that didn't have the covenant promise of Israel. And do not enter into the city of Samaritans. That was the half-breeds that they called them. But go rather, look what he says, but go rather to the house of Israel. Now, what is he saying? I want to add this. He's basically saying go to, I'm going to say this. He's saying go to the children of Israel. But for some preaching this and I'm teaching this. And seriously, the revelation of it for today is go to the church folk first. Go to church folk first and go start preaching this. And so when you start teaching it to church folk and they start rejecting it, then there's a release that will, you know, you shake the dust off your feet. All right. Judgment, deliverance, everything starts first in the house of God. So he says, go to the church folks first. Why? So that they can learn and grow and help do the work of Jesus, of saving souls and learning. See, so that they can start laying hands on the sick and people recovering. So they can go and heal and lay hands on their loved ones. Your loved ones should want to come to you when they get sick and say, you know, will you pray for me? Mm-hmm. They should respect your belief and your faith and your holiness and your righteousness. And they love you because you love them, even if they're struggling in sin areas or still, you know, living in sin and partying, this, that, and the other, and smoking. You have no judgment in your body. Why? You used to do it. You judge somebody for stuff you used to do with your self-righteous selves. I don't judge nobody, man. I've been there, done that. I've already done stuff like that. He set me free so I can help others get set free. Let's move on here. And so that they can learn and be and help in the work of Jesus. And they also can experience the benefits of their spiritual rights that Jesus' blood purchased for them through his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. Healing was purchased for you. Healing was purchased for you. Now, if any preacher tells you anything otherwise, don't believe it. And they're not from Jesus. They're not a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you go, he says in verse 7, go preaching, saying what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's available to you. He told him in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Oh, man. I ain't seen nobody get raised the dead. One of the reasons is they pour the blood out. They go to the morgue and they pour the blood out before you can get there. They're quick to come get the body and empty it of the blood because the life is in the blood. No blood in the body can't be raised. Mm-hmm. At that point, but Jesus is still going to raise the body, you know, at the coming of the Lord. But anyway, we're to go to the church folks first. This makes me think of, what's my time? Makes me think of the book of Luke 13, 10 and 14. In Luke 13, 10 and 14. How he was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and there was a woman there with a spirit of infirmity. She had a spirit of infirmity for 13 years. I'm looking at my time here. We'll probably get into this on Thursday. But the rulers of the synagogue was upset that he healed her of that infirmity. And Jesus said, Jesus called them hypocrites. Brother Larry, I'm not calling nobody no hypocrite. I'm telling you what Jesus said. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose not his ox or donkey in the stall and lead them to water? In other words, Jesus was saying, you treat animals You're going to treat your animals better than a daughter of Abraham. Some people treat their animals better than a brother and sister in Christ. You love that animal. You love that animal so much that that animal take your tithe money. I can't tithe. You're feeding the dog with your tithe money. The animal's important, more important than paying your tithes. That's a strong statement I'm saying. I know I am. Because your priorities is not for the kingdom. You're not kingdom minded. Your desire is not to expand the kingdom. You can pray all day, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If you don't pay your tithes, you don't want the kingdom to grow. I'm not trying to make nobody feel bad, but that's the truth. It's the work of Jesus. It takes money to preach the gospel. What are you scared of it for? Amen. So we call them hypocrites. Ought not this woman, the daughter of Abraham, who had been bound by Satan? Read it, y'all. Go to Luke 13, 15, 17. It was bound by Satan for 18 years, be loose from her bonds on the Sabbath. God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. He wants us to enter into the rest of the Lord.
Yeah.
Rest from our works. Rest in the completed work of Christ Jesus. That's the healing and the power and the deliverance. Enter into the prosperity that Jesus died to provide for us. He became poor to make us rich. When you live in the kingdom provides all your provisions because you're kingdom minded. We're going to really have a good talk here. Continue on with section 2. It says the kingdom comes again with healing and deliverance. He sent out 70. I apologize. I do not have that. So we appointed 70 in the book of Luke 1 through 2, but I got here when he had called his 12 disciples. I didn't add it to the screen. So let me do this. I am going to do this because I want this to be read. We're going to go to Luke 10, 1 through 2. Let me get this up here and I'll put it on the screen for you, okay? Luke 10, 1 through 2. So there it is up on the screen. Let me make that big for you so you can see it. Amen. You getting something today? Bible says righteousness is sown in peace. I'm sowing some righteousness today. So it says in Luke 10, 1 through 2, that's what I'm reading. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself would go. Did you see that? Are you going somewhere he ain't going, telling you to go? It says where he would have went. So he's extending himself. That's what we do as people in the body of Christ. Let me see, that's why we have to work where he wants, tells us to work. He wants to be there, and we're his body, so he's putting us there. See, if you're working for Jesus, when you stop working for money, you work for Jesus, and Jesus will make sure you got plenty of money. I don't want to work on that job. Well, see, you can't be used by Jesus because you're after your own stuff. And when you get kingdom-minded, you understand that there's kingdom provision, supernatural provision. The barrel of meal never empties. How? Miracle-working power. I don't know. It just works. But you've got to... First of all, get delivered from the world's way of thinking and doing things. So look what it says in verse 2. And he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. See the laborers? He ain't got nobody to do the work that want to help build the kingdom. Everybody is selfish. They after their own stuff. You want a bigger house and a new car. There's nothing wrong with having nice things, but how about living on the level where you can have two or three nice cars and God can use you to give some away? Give one away to somebody. He knocks on the door of your heart and say, give this car to this family, this young man here that's trying to work and he's working hard and he can't get to work to feed his babies. Give him a car. And that man been praying to Jesus, God, I really need a car. God, I really need a car. God, and don't give him no junk. And then you take that and you give it to that person, and that person's prayer was answered through you because you heard God. And so God continues to pray. That's what prosperity message is about. It's about God empowering you to establish his covenant of love so that he can love others through you.
Yeah.
Charge those that are rich to give. You got skills and education to get wealth so that you can be a blessing to the body of Christ and the people. But instead, you're still after your material things for selfish self. You don't qualify for the kingdom provisions. We'll talk about that some more. So he said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Looking at my time here. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. In other words, he's saying, ask God to connect you with people that will come to be a part of Team Jesus. That's what we're doing here at this ministry. I'm praying for God to bring people here that really want to serve Jesus and grow in Jesus and be used in the work of the ministry of Jesus. You want church as usual, you won't like this ministry. And I'm okay with that. I'm not the type of pastor that's going to put you in the position just to fill the seats. And, you know, you got a good gift of music, this, that, and the other. But you're going through things, you know, at home with your family and your family life. In other words, I'm not going to prostitute you out. You have preachers that prostitute people. People tried to prostitute me out. I ain't going to let you prostitute me out. You're not going to prostitute me out. I belong to Jesus. You're not going to use my gift to build your ministry. See the problem? Your ministry. When I talk, this ain't my ministry. This is Jesus's ministry. I gave my heart to Jesus when I came back this time. And you use me. You want me to preach to the seats? I'll preach to the seats so you get the people that you want to be here. Right. I'm serious. That's why he made a way for us to be here and don't have to worry about finances so he can get the people he wants here. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to do all that stuff. We're not going to have Jersey Sunday and all that stuff to move your emotions. If you want the word, Pastor Larry is going to teach you the scriptures so that you can grow thereby. That was the command of God when I walked through this door. I cried. I said, God, what you want me to do here? Just give me simple instruction and I'll do it. And he spoke these words to me. Teach my word so that my people can grow. How about that for simple? Yes, Father. And so that's what I'm doing. If you want to grow, come grow. All right. So do you see that? So now let's move on to, I want to go to Luke 10. Luke 10. We're still in Luke. Well, I'm still in Luke 10. I want to go down to verse 9. Oh, there go 9 right there. So he went on to say, I want you to see, he said, heal the sick. He said, heal the sick. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. Heal the sick there and say to them, say what? The kingdom of God has come near you. So it's near you. Now you are ready to enter into the kingdom. It's available. But he said, heal the sick. So with the kingdom comes healing. That's what I want us to see here. And that's what Jesus did. Healing. Healing comes. Hallelujah. Amen. All righty. Doing good on time. We're in section 3. We're almost done. I'm not going to be here long no more because you can't retain all that information. This is a teaching that you go back home and you listen, you look, you read, and you meditate on the scriptures and talk to the Holy Spirit so you can start seeing this. You have to become kingdom minded because that's where the power of God shows up in your life. When you become kingdom minded. All right. Look at Hebrews 1. Look at 8 and 9. Man, we about done. Hebrews 1 verses 8 and 9, it says, but to the Son, he says, this is talking about Jesus, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Look what it says there. A scepter of righteousness. The king's scepter is his power. When he put that scepter down and he speaks, it is law, baby. It's going to come to pass. So his scepter is a scepter of righteousness. He's a righteous God. Fair. Righteous. So he says, a scepter of righteousness is your is the scepter of your kingdom. Glory to God. So it says, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. So anyone that doesn't hate lawlessness is not righteous. They're not a part, they haven't been born again in part of the righteous nature of Jesus. Because when we get born again, we take on the righteous nature of God. We need to talk about this, Lord. I see that Holy Spirit. Righteousness is not something that you do or you work to become. Righteousness is your new nature. When you get born again, you take on the righteous nature of God. The righteous nature. And so you hate lawlessness. The enemy that breaks spiritual laws or cause people to break spiritual laws. Our battle is with demonic principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. And if you don't know that, you're ignorant and you're being used by the devil because you're not being taught the scriptures. You're not being taught the truth. This is a battle of two kingdoms, the kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness. And you got to know what kingdom you are in. Amen. We're the kingdom of light. And light removes darkness. Darkness can't comprehend the light. So if darkness is still operating in your life, you might be in a church where they got the dark light on. I thought about this when I was younger. They had black lights. You know, remember the black lights that would make the posters glow in the dark? The nasty posters glow in the dark? Unclean posters? Yeah, I remember that. I come from that era. They call them black lights. And they would glow. Those posters had little fuzz or whatever on it and nasty half-dressed women. Huh? What did you say? Yeah, the velvet pictures. But it was a black light. That's why it says if the light of your eyes is darkness. So you're in the dark. You're like a night creature. You're like a nocturnal animal. But when we come to the kingdom, we turn on the light. I'm just going to say this. We keep the light. All the churches decide to just turn the lights off in the church and make it a theater. Man, everything going to look like we keep the lights on here. I don't care what nobody say. Anyway. It says, verse 9 says, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, it says, therefore, God, your God, so Jesus is God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. It's talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the captain of the hosts. He in charge. He's in charge of the church. A lot of people don't know that. He can't even get to some churches. He can't even show up there because they've already decided what they're going to do. Jesus is like, I don't even want y'all to do that. He said, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. What are you talking about? Jesus is like, I never told you to do it. You're doing what you want to do. You don't even question me and ask me, Lord Jesus, is your will. One of the things I've learned to do, I pray to Jesus. This is his ministry. Jesus, am I doing what you want me to do? Help me. I'm learning to pray more and more to Jesus. Jesus, I'm on, you know, I can prepare. Jesus, what you want the people to learn? He's the shepherd. I'm just the under shepherd. I remember I had a dream and I was watching this chef prepare a meal. And I was working with the chef and the chef was pointing at me to get different seasonings. And I was getting the seasoning and I grabbed one. He was like, you know, it was like a hand. He was like, no. He wasn't speaking. He was just pointing. And then I started putting the seasoning on there. And then he tapped my hand, told me to move and go here and get this. And I brought it and I was doing something, you know, and then he tapped my hand again. And I woke up and said, well, what are you trying to tell me, Lord Jesus? What are you trying to tell me? He says, let me tell you how to prepare the meal. Glory to God. Hey, glory to God. Some people don't know how to let God tell them how to prepare the meal. You're trying to figure out how to entertain people. I said, like now, I got a message now. He put this in my heart. I just, where are we going with this? I don't even know how this is going to end. That's why he's been using me. Just. And some people think, well, if you use notes, you ain't hearing from God. Shut up. The teaching gift is different. The teaching gift, he shows us a teaching in our spirit, and we got to bring it out. Line upon line, precept upon precept. That's the teaching gift. And the gift of the teacher is to teach you the how-to of the word. So you can go get hooped and hollered, moan and groan, and feel good and run around the seats. But until you are willing to learn instructions of how-to, it ain't going to produce in your life. So people don't like teachers. Why? Because you don't want instructions. And the instructions is to help you do it. You don't have to keep struggling. That's the way I operate. My mind is wired, Lord. I need simple instructions. I don't like reading long, drawn-out books. I want books that's simple, straight to the point. Do this, do this, do this, and this is how this piece, like when you're putting something together. Tell me what I need. You need to put this screw here. You need to do. And if it ain't working, I need to go back over the instructions because I missed something, doggone it. Well, teaching is boring. Well, that's why your life is tore up from the flow up, because you want to run around, spit and slob and sweat. Priests ain't supposed to sweat, man. We don't do all that. I ain't sweating today. Praise the Lord. So that's how you learn, right?
Amen.
All right. Did we read Colossians? Look what it says in Colossians chapter 1, 13 through 20. It says, for he has rescued us from this is about Jesus. Jesus has rescued us and drawn us to himself. Do you see that? So he draws us, he woos us to himself. From the dominion, look at that word there, from the dominion of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom. See that word kingdom? Kingdom of his dear son. So that's God. Forgive me. God rescued us and he draws us to himself from the dominion of darkness and has translated us. So he translates us or puts us into the kingdom of his beloved son, or the Amplified. I'm used to reading the New King James. It says his dear son's love. That's Jesus.
Amen.
God so loved the world he gave Jesus. Whoso shall believe on Jesus shall not perish. If you're not believing on Jesus, you're perishing. That's why in this ministry, we're built on looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. If you're struggling with low self-esteem or pride and arrogance and comparisonitis, it's because you're not looking to Jesus. If you're still thinking something wrong with you, you're not looking to Jesus, because you are holy and acceptable in God in what Jesus has done for you. So you got to get out of yourself and get in Jesus and see yourself and understand that you're accepted in God's, and you're accepted by God simply because you believe in Jesus, and everything is fine with you. And now he's helping develop you and growing you, as my wife said, as you continually look into the mirror of the word. We're growing. You can see your personal growth if you really are serious about growing.
Yeah.
All righty, let's finish on with this. In whom we have redemption. Why? Because of his sacrifice, resulting in forgiveness of sins. Look at it. And the canceling of sin's penalty. Sickness and disease is sin's penalty, y'all. Living a hellish life, drama-filled life, is the penalties of sin. Wowsy, woo-woo life, slept wrong, is because of the penalties. You're in sin. And the purpose of sin, of the law, is to drive you to Christ. How many times you got to bump your head before you decide to come to Jesus? Okay. 15. He is the exact living image, the essential manifestation of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. Glory to God. Boy, glory to God. Whew, I get stuck right there. Move on. The firstborn, the preeminent one. He's the firstborn. He's the firstborn. He's our big brother. The preeminent one, the sovereign and the originator of all creation, all creation, because he was the word. He's the word that became flesh. Continuing on to verse 16 of Colossians 1, 13 through 20 says, for by him all things were created in heaven and earth, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers of authority, all things were created and exist through him. That's why he rebuked the devil. You shall worship the Lord thy God and thy God only. What Jesus did to the devil, he pointed his finger and says, you shall worship me, the Lord thy God only. Because Jesus knew who he was. As my wife said, who you thought he was talking to? You better tell somebody that don't know who they are. And when you know who you are, that's why you look at the devil. Who you thought you talked to? Who you thought you're talking to? I'm holy and righteous and above reproach.
Hallelujah.
You better go talk to somebody. In fact, I ain't even going to let you talk to nobody that don't know who they are. I'll bind you before you mess with them. All right, let's move on here. Where are Levi? But he is also the head. The 17. And he himself existed and is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Glory to God. He is the controlling cohesive force in the universe. He's the controlling factor of our lives, y'all. This is how you preach the word to people. I'm preaching the scriptures to you. He is also the head. Glory to God. Look at this. He is the life source and leader. That's why I look to Jesus. Glory to God. The body of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will occupy the first place. He will stand supreme and be preeminent in everything. Glory to God. That's why we look to Jesus here. For it pleased the Father. Glory to that. For all the fullness of deity, the sum total of his essence, of all his perfection, power, and attributes to dwell, look at this, permanently in the Son, and through the intervention of the Son to reconcile all things to himself, making peace with believers through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, for it pleased the Father that the fullness, the deity, the sum total of his essence, all his perfection, powers, and attributes to dwell permanently in him. Who? The Son. Glory to God. And through the intervention of the Son to reconcile all things to himself, making peace with believers through the blood of his cross. I think I said that again, same thing. So, glory to God. I didn't get verse 20. No, that's verse 20. So, isn't that awesome? And think about this. And that same authority and power of the kingdom is resident on the inside of us.
Hallelujah.
But the kingdom is on the inside of you. So all of that dunamis is on the inside of you. But you don't know that because Reverend don't believe that and he ain't preaching it to you. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. But we're going to learn this lesson so you can grow and overflow in who you are and what you have in Christ Jesus. Well, that's all for today. Thursday, we'll talk about this some more. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus and who is the author and defender of our faith, Father God. We honor you with our faith in the grace that you have provided for us in Jesus. We also ask that you touch people's hearts to come and to come to the saving grace of Jesus, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Guys, we're located at 1714 Fairgrove Avenue in Hamilton, Ohio. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sundays at 11:15, Thursdays at 7:30. We love you. Hopefully, we'll see you here soon. Till next time. Amen.